You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Samantha Wright just got a little crazy with those buttons today. You know what? This is what happens when it's live radio, and it's Friday. So you know what? We're just apparently all ready to go home. It is time for our reporter roundtable. Joining me live in studio, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press, Seth Ogilvie with Idaho Public Television, and Don Day with BoiseDev.com. Welcome to this rainy Friday.
Thank you.
I think she just wanted to get what you were saying before on air.
I know, right? Right? There's a lot going on behind the scenes. And one of these days, we should make a podcast called, like, Off the Mic,
where
people actually find out what we're talking about. Okay, a lot to get to. I want to start, Scott, with you about civil discourse. And I should say that there's some unlikely allies coming together. In fact, we're going to have some of these allies on the program in the next half hour talking about this.
Right. So Keith Allred is the head of the National Institute for Civil Discourse. And this week he announced his state advisory board in Idaho. Now, Keith Allred ran for governor as a Democrat in 2010 mm-hmm. against Governor Butch Otter, Republican. And Butch Otter is one of the co-chairs of this state advisory board. And so, that, you know, I think maybe surprised some people, but I have a little personal connection to this. Back in the 2010 campaign, I interviewed both Otter and Allred when they were running. And one of the questions that I ask every candidate is, what is your top priority if you are elected or reelected? And Governor Otter's answer was very quickly, he said, increase funding for education. And then the following week, I interviewed Keith Allred, a Democrat, and I said, what's your top priority? And he said, cutting taxes for businesses. So, you know, as a reporter, I thought I was in bizarro world.
What is happening?
The Democrat is saying cut taxes and the Republican is saying increase spending. But, I think it's indicative of kind of this movement, this common sense American movement mm-hmm. that Keith Allred is leading the charge on. That they're looking for common ground and issues that they can agree on and say that, well, you can be a Republican and still recognize the importance of education funding. You can be a Democrat and still recognize the importance of cutting burdensome taxes that stand in the way of economic development. And I think that's what this movement is all about. And I think it's really interesting, too, to look at the other members on this board. You've got Kristen Armstrong.
Right.
Walt Minnick. Walt Minnick was in the Nixon administration and then ran as a Democrat against Bill Sally in 2008.
And won.
Voted against the Affordable Care Act, was endorsed by the Tea Party, and then lost to Raul Labrador in 2010 in the House of Representatives. And so he's a co-chair with Butch Otter, Mark Durkin, Sheree Buckner Webb, Skip Oppenheimer, A.J. Belukoff, another Democratic opponent. So it's really an interesting group of folks who are saying, let's come together kind of in the middle mm-hmm. to find common sense solutions to some of our problems.
And I think coming together, finding common sense solutions is always a good thing. I think that's what we would, you know, want from all of our politicians. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, and we had some of the people from the Civility Council come into the State House a couple of years back, and it does always strike me as a lot of folks that are in power forget that civility can be used as a weapon. It can be used as a weapon against marginalized communities. I think at the Words, for example, which Keith Allred was actually pretty involved with over the last little bit. Those people were told consistently, if you come to us and you work in a civil manner, something will get done. Well, nothing's really gotten done. You go back to the farm workers who had to be uncivil to get their point across. It's normally not folks in marginalized communities that benefit from civility. It's normally the power structure. And if you look at the people involved with this, these are all very high profile, very powerful people who probably would like their day to be not uncomfortable. They want to think about icky things. They don't want to be called out for their positions. And oftentimes that use of civility gets pushed onto, oh, you're making me feel uncomfortable. You called me a racist. You called me homophobic. You called me these things. That's uncivil to me. When sometimes people are actually, you know, going through policies that are those things.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see what issues they tackle. Are they going to be milquetoast kind of boring issues, or are they going to try to tackle immigration reform or
right.
justice reform? You know, if they start tackling some of these really big picture issues, I think it's got a shot.
No, I think you're right.
And in fact, they will be at Jump in downtown Boise tonight, basically an open forum open to the public for people to come in and talk with these board members about issues that as regular citizens, that we want them to tackle. So that's tonight in downtown Boise. And then we'll be interviewing Walt Minnick and Butch Otter and Keith Allred right after you guys. So stay tuned for that in the next half hour. All right, let's switch gears and let's talk about garbage. Because why not? Because it's Friday and it's a garbagey day outside. Okay, Scott, what in the world is going on with a fight that's happening over garbage collection, basically?
Yeah, I always bring the sexy issues to
you
the
do.
Show.
Like
so
it.
Garbage collection. So
I'm into it.
Ada County commissioners this week approved a new contract with Hardin Sanitation. Now, they've had a contract with Republic Services for a number of years, and the contract was coming up to provide garbage collection in unincorporated Ada County. So these are all the areas outside of the cities. Mm-hmm. Boise and Meridian and CUNA all have separate garbage collection contracts. This is about 20,000 customers throughout Ada, unincorporated Ada County. And the commissioners went with Hardin Sanitation, which is a small garbage collection company in Payette. But it is owned by Waste Connections, which is a $4 billion company, multinational company based in Ontario, Canada. They have locations all over North America. They have four locations in Idaho. And this is their first contract in the Treasure Valley. Now, Republic Services is an even bigger company. They're a $10 billion company, Fortune 500 company, and they have the contracts with just about every other entity in the Treasure Valley. And, you know, this particular contract is kind of a small contract, about $4 million. But I think we're going to see a bigger battle heat up in the coming months and years as these contracts come up. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars. You've got 20,000 customers in unincorporated county. You've got a lot more customers in Boise and Meridian and Nampa, and I think you're going to see these two heavyweight companies start duking it out over some of these contracts throughout the Treasure Valley.
And there was a fascinating story in the Idaho Press a couple weeks ago about Republic Services and some of the things that they've been doing to bring dollars back to some of the communities that they serve, which was kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, and this is all coincidental. We were doing another story, and we stumbled upon this donation. It was a donation from Republic Services to the city of Nampa of about $50,000. And we were like, well, where does that come from? And Republic Services says that they are receiving federal tax credits for the use of natural gas engines in their vehicles. And when they got those rebates, they were able to pass that along back to the cities with which they do business. And so we started asking around and finding out how much money we're talking here. And we were able to calculate at least $700,000 in the last 3 years that Republic Services was paying back to the cities and counties that they were doing business with. The problem that we found was that this money was kind of unaccounted for. The Republic Services was coming by City Hall and dropping off a check at the front desk.
For $50,000 and nobody could find it?
Well, no, they could find
it.
And, but
it wasn't on the budget.
It wasn't. Most of the time, it wasn't on the budget. The mayors of the individual cities were deciding how to spend it, and they were spending it on pet projects. The city of Nampa bought playground equipment for a park. They bought a grocery shuttle for North Nampa. The city of Boise spent it on electric vehicles for their fleet. They spent it on the Gorongosa exhibit at the zoo, just all sorts of things. And a lot of times, most of the times, this money was spent without city council approval. This was spent by the mayors, and they decided how to spend it. Now, the city of Meridian appears to have done things right. Mayor Tammy DeVere got the money, brought it to city council, let them know exactly how much it was, what it was for. City Council debated it, they discussed it, they voted on how to spend it, and they put it in their budget. In some of these cases, we found that the money wasn't even in the budget, and when we asked to go back and ask how much money was donated in 2016, well, I don't remember. Nobody remembers. There's no record of it. And so I think that story is coincidental with this contract, but it just goes to show how much money is involved in these contracts. And I think this is really big business, and you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, and what about, how does that affect the consumer? And what I mean by that is, with this new company, are their garbage rates going to go down, or what's that?
So when the request for proposals came in, Hardin Sanitation had put in a proposal for an 8-cent per month increase. for the contract. But Republic Services had put in a proposal of an increase of $2.73. So
couldn't they just give that back to people when they're writing those checks?
You said that, Gemma.
Wow, like most of my knowledge of sanitation came from watching The Sopranos.
Oh,
I'm surprised
goodness.
At like how much these things seemingly are kind of overlapping.
Again,
not implying
you said that.
Yeah.
Not
right, right.
But the savings are about $600,000 per year to Ada County garbage customers.
Well, and it's interesting because in Boise, they were talking about some of the efforts that they're doing to decrease the amount of waste going to the landfill. And something that they're looking at in the next couple of years is changing the model for trash from a you pay a flat fee to pay as you throw, meaning the more volume you generate, the more you may have to pay. So that means that you could see increases for certain types of customers in Boise. And of course, they are currently are on the Republic Services contract. So when Scott pitched the story and said it wasn't sexy, I was like, I think it's sexy. I think it's really interesting.
We've spent the majority
right,
of this segment
right.
talking about it.
It drives right to the heart of city politics and money and influence in our valley.
Yeah.
Well, and to make it super sexy, economists will tell you that that would probably be a benefit for overall trash creation. If you're paying more to create more trash, that should drive down the amount of waste that
one
we create.
Hope, right?
I mean, one would hope. But more importantly, do we have to get new trash cans?
Don't give us any more new directions on that, please. It's hard enough as it is. Okay, Don.
Speaking of trash,
trash juice. What that? First off, gross.
So
okay.
I'm sorry, I coined that phrase and put it out into the ether, but
it's here now.
So here's what's happening. The downtown Boise is known as a pretty clean place, except for the area right in across the street from the Borough Post Office, where for the last several months, trash juice, as I coined it, has been leaking out of a building. And if you go on Boise...
It's been leaking out of a building?
So there's a parking garage. And so here's what happened. Dumpsters traditionally have been in alleys. In recent years, the Capital City Development Corporation, Downtown Boise Association, and City of Boise have worked to clean up our alleys. They look at it as public space. Right? Seems like kind of a
neat
alley, idea. Yeah, it was.
Cool
I think that was the catalyst. So the alley behind the Union Block got kind of a makeover, and they took all the trash dumpsters for restaurants like Old Chicago and I've got a cold, so I cannot literally think of another restaurant down there, but all those restaurants down there.
Oh, like Mai Tai?
The Red Feather, all of them.
Okay, so the New Diablo and Sons,
that whole block. Into dumpsters, and their grease went into dumpsters on the on the block. Well, they cleaned up the alley, and they moved the dumpsters into an area in a parking garage that abuts Bannock Street. And so what's happening is this, the liquid waste that comes out of trash, and you've all taken out a trash bag that has liquid in it. It's leaking across the sidewalk, and I'm staring at the picture right now, and this is radio, so you can't see it, but it looks gross. So a user on Twitter yesterday just said, I'm fed up with it. I've got a business downtown. I'm moving out. And caught the eye of a couple reporters. One of Scott's folks also covered this. And CCDC says, it's not our problem. It's a private agreement. Downtown Boise Association says, well, we go out there and clean it twice a week. When I was down there, a crew showed up to clean the sidewalk, and I said, hey, did you guys get called out to do this today? Yeah, we haven't gotten to it in a while. And he said, we're going to need to come out here more often.
Twice a week,
Well,
apparently.
I think probably even more than that. So the property owner says he didn't know about it, and so that's, I think, up for a bit of debate. Some people have told me that maybe that's not true, but he did say, you know, it's a challenge because you have – a lot of turnover in the restaurant industry, and people are just trying to get rid of the trash and move on to their next task. And so it doesn't always make it in the bin, and things aren't as clean as they could be. So I think that there's going to be some pressure to get this cleaned up because it smells. It's greasy. Somebody said that they saw red liquid going across the sidewalk.
And then summer's coming.
One of the folks with Downtown Boise Association to me pointed out last night, I thought this was a good point. It's not in my story, but pointed out later, we're so used to our downtown being clean that this really sticks out.
Right.
And it really does. People, the comments that I've had, people say, well, we avoid it. But it's a lot of unintended consequences, right? They decided to clean up this alley and make it nice. And the problem isn't going to go away. We have to get rid of our trash somehow. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it moved it from an alley to a public street that lots of people go by, very near the Capitol. So I think it shows that you have to be careful when you're doing these type of urban planning
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Let's get back to our reporter roundtable with Don Day with Boise Dev, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press, and Seth Ogilvie with Idaho Public Television. Scott, what about the city of Caldwell looking to increase impact fees?
Yeah, so this is an ongoing saga throughout the Treasure Valley. This is a number of cities are looking at increasing their impact fees, and Caldwell is the latest. Nampa has voted to increase their fees almost by four times. Meridian is changing their fees to try to increase their collections. CUNA is adding two new fees, one for fire, one for police. And so Caldwell is now kind of saying, well, let's look at this. And they currently charge about $1,600 per residential unit. Now, impact fees, as a reminder, are fees that cities will charge developers when they build a new house or a new commercial space. And the amounts vary. And they can use those, the cities can use those fees to pay for new fire stations or a new police station or parks or
roads.
And so in the past couple of years, we've just seen the cities really jump on board and recognize that as they're reaching shortfalls in their budgets to provide basic services, they're looking to impact fees. And so Caldwell is the latest to start looking at this. They're talking about adding $1,000, so going up to about $2,600 per housing unit. But what we found out when we were doing the reporting is that they have an impact fee committee that hasn't met in over 3 years. And over the past 10 years, they really haven't met that much at all. And so this is some state requirements and some paperwork and some reports that they have to file as a committee in order to increase these fees. So when they started talking about increasing fees, they realized that they hadn't crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's. And so they're kind of going back and doing that before they can increase fees. They collect about $1 million right now in impact fees, but they have a study that shows that the police department alone is going to need $5 million in new infrastructure in the next 10 years, just the police station, the police department.
Right.
That doesn't include fire or parks or roads. So they're talking about needing a lot of money that is going to be spent on projects that are necessitated by the growth that's happening in Caldwell. And Caldwell now is over, 50,000, right. 55,000 people.
And it's just growing.
And it's growing by leaps and bounds.
Right.
And subdivisions with hundreds of houses going in them every week. So it's something that a lot of cities are looking at, and I think we're just going to see more and more of it every month.
Hey, Don, this is I think it's been a little hard to completely understand. So I want you to break this down for us. with a head cold. What in the world is going on with Ada County Highway District and Capital City Development Corporation? got some fisticuffs going on.
Sorry, former governor, you're bumped for the next half hour.
Right.
I
know.
So,
and I've got about six minutes.
Great, I can do it. About eight. So the Ada County Highway District. So let's back up. The Ada County Highway District and the city of Boise have a lot of friction. I think we all know this. They have different approaches, they have different political philosophies, and they are tied together for good or for ill. On May 8th, the head of the Ada County Highway District, the head of the Board of Commissioners, Rebecca Arnold, wrote a letter to Dana Zuckerman at CCDC and Mayor Beter and said, basically, we've had enough of urban renewal. We feel like it's taking money that belongs to roads. We feel like you are creating districts that are, in her words, gerrymandered along our road corridors. And it's siphoning revenue away that should be going into the road projects. And what's interesting is they made a couple of arguments that I found novel. One, they said that the highway district's authority predates the authority in the legislature that authorizes urban renewal districts. And they also said, the problem here is that you're taking our revenue and you're freezing it over the life of an urban renewal district, and we're still spending money in those districts. So that means that the residents throughout the rest of the city are paying more to fund the roads inside the districts. So I used an analogy for this quite a bit. In downtown Boise, they created the urban renewal district in 1986. For 30 years, the tax revenues that flowed to all of the other agencies, police and fire and roads, was frozen. They didn't get any more money on a yearly basis than they did in 1986.
Hmm.
Think about the cost of what it cost, say, the Boise Police Department to provide police services in the downtown Boise core in 1986 versus 2016? You can imagine it was a lot more in 2016. So who paid for that increase in services? The residents throughout the city of Boise, me and you and anybody else who pays property taxes. And so Rebecca Arnold is basically saying, we need to have a change here. You're creating all these districts. You are not doing it in collaboration with us. We believe that state law requires that. And it's a pretty big thing. She didn't say they were going to take legal action. They haven't really talked to me in follow-up. ACHD has been pretty quiet. They also had their computers melt down this week, which I think was part of it. I've asked for comment from the city of Boise and for CCDC, and they have been silent. The letter came out on May 8th. We are on May 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And no response. I don't believe that that will stay like that forever. I do think we'll get a response. But it's interesting because CCDC and the school district, Boise School District, kind of came to an agreement last year that they would, you know, help the school district out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to add Boise High most likely to what their one of their downtown areas. And my understanding is that was under similar pressure. So you have these taxing agencies who need money, just as Scott said, even in Caldwell and Boise, they need money. Urban renewal is taking dollars away. And you can argue the merits of that, certainly, and there are great merits of urban renewal, but I think it's going to be an increasing fight here in the next couple of years. And it's one of many fights on the urban renewal front.
Right, and there are a lot of people who don't like urban renewal as a principle, but it still exists in state law as a tool for cities. What's interesting to me is this citation of state law that the ACHD is essentially saying that there is a conflict in state law with the wording,
right,
of the language of the highway district and their ability to collect property taxes on the assessed value of a property within the highway district. And they're saying that urban renewal law actually conflicts with that, with what's going on, that you have a higher valuation of property and ACHD is not allowed to collect what they are allowed to collect, mm-hmm, based on current state law. So I think that's maybe why there's a little bit of silence that, like, I think some people are saying, whoa, we better take a look at that.
I think the attorneys are looking at it. And I will say Mayor Beter about 10 days ago at City Council, while they were talking about whether to move forward on urban renewal on the bench, said, we might not even have urban renewal in a couple of years.
So that's saying something.
So I think
right
they're
there.
Feeling it.
Yeah. I want to thank you guys for coming in. I really appreciate it. My guest today, Scott McIntosh with the Idaho Press, Don Day with Boise Dev, and Seth Ogilvy with Idaho Public Television. Up next, some unlikely allies are coming together to promote the importance of civil discourse. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.